WMRA News, I'm Dan Easley. The Augusta County Sheriff's Office will get body cameras, UVA cracks down on fraternity hazing, and residents of Rockbridge County work to address pollution in the Maury River. This is the WMRA Daily for Friday, April 26th. New details in the Charlottesville abduction case emerged after the prosecutor gave a summary of evidence in court on Tuesday. WMRA's Randy B. Hagee reports.
41-year-old James Robert Allen of Suffolk pled guilty to the 2023 abduction and malicious wounding of a young woman in Charlottesville. Commonwealth's attorney Joe Platania read a summary of evidence in open court at the time of the plea, revealing new insight into the woman's escape and Allen's capture. On the night of October 4th, two witnesses in the area of Rugby Road and Burnley Avenue heard a woman screaming. They went outside and saw a man, later identified as Allen, jump into a white work truck with Curtis Contractors written on it. He sped off, crashing into multiple trees and a car before fleeing on foot. Responding officers found a woman with duct tape on her wrists and multiple injuries. A police press conference held last year identified her as a University of Virginia student. She reportedly told an officer that while she was walking home on Burnley Avenue that evening, a man jumped out from behind the truck and started violently choking her. She screamed and fought back while he told her to stop resisting and that he was going to kill her. The man wrestled her to the ground, punched her in the face, and forced her into the vehicle. She was eventually able to escape. She was treated at UVA Medical Center for a fracture of a bone in her neck, hemorrhaging in and around her eyes, and other injuries. The construction company told police that the truck was assigned to him and he was staying at the Holiday Inn in Rutgersville. Surveillance footage showed Allen entering the hotel at approximately 3 a.m. after the attack. That afternoon, he was located by the Orange County Sheriff's Office and arrested. The summary includes quotes from a recorded jail call in which Allen's wife told him, quote, "That girl didn't deserve that," and he tells her he's sorry. He is scheduled to be sentenced on August 27th and faces up to 30 years in prison. He has previous convictions for attacking a woman in 2008 and several burglaries. For WMRA News, I'm Randy B. Hagee.
In a 7-0 vote, the Augusta County Board of Supervisors approved the fiscal year 25 budget, which was surrounded with confusion and frustration from residents because of the reassessment done earlier in the year. WHSV reports the county is expected to collect $12 million from the real estate tax increase. A big portion of the money will go towards the Verona Courthouse project. Body and dash cameras for the sheriff's office were also among the items added with the new money. People living in Augusta County voiced their concerns for the new tax rate, but felt satisfied that the board passed a budget that included body cameras. Environmental and recreational fishing groups have been pushing Virginia to ban industrial menhaden fishing in the Chesapeake Bay. Catherine Hoffner with partner station WHRO News reports their latest efforts have failed.
The Virginia Marine Resources Commission voted down the latest petition after hours of passionate public comments on both sides. Regulators said they don't have enough scientific evidence to support restricting the menhaden harvest. As Commissioner Heather Lusk noted, state lawmakers recently postponed a study that would have helped.
It is incredibly frustrating that we do not have the information, regional information that we need. It's also frustrating that it doesn't appear that there's much that this commission can do.
The controversy hinges on whether menhaden are suffering in the Chesapeake Bay specifically. Harvester Omega Protein says federal data shows it's not. Critics say that data reflects the whole East Coast, which could hide more localized issues. The proposed study to find out would cost the state around $3 million.
Catherine Hoffner reporting. You may have heard the buzz in the media that 13-year cicadas will begin emerging across the South this week until mid-June. But as Roxy Todd reports, only a handful of Virginia counties will see them.
If you live in the southern part of Virginia or along the eastern coast, you may see cicadas this year.
Maybe as far as Richmond, but really we're at the northern edge of the distribution of the great southern brood.
Doug Pfeiffer is a professor of entomology at Virginia Tech. He says this year's cicada brood will mostly affect states in the deep south. And if you saw cicadas in 2011, that may not mean you'll see them this year. That's because changes to the environment, like adding pavement, may have killed them.
You remove trees and then you remove the cicadas too. So, you know, we're waiting to see exactly where it does come out this season.
Pfeiffer says if you do see cicadas, they're pretty harmless. He enjoys listening to the sound of cicadas singing, but he knows some people get annoyed.
And I guess they can take consolation from the fact that they'll go away soon. They'll only last 4 to 6 weeks, and then they'll be gone for, you know, years to come.
If you have young fruit trees that have been recently planted, you may want to protect them with bird netting or use insecticide to keep the cicadas away. Otherwise, it's best to leave the insects be, Pfeiffer says. Birds and mammals eat them, and dead cicadas help replenish the soil with nutrients, which help plants grow. In Blacksburg, I'm Roxy Todd.
The University of Virginia has terminated one local fraternity and suspended three others over hazing concerns. The school said Wednesday that the local Pi Kappa Alpha chapter, quote, engaged in serious hazing behavior, according to the Associated Press. A spokesperson for the fraternity says the chapter was expelled for a minimum of 4 years, adding that its UVA members, quote, sullied and degraded the organization's name. UVA also suspended Kappa Sigma, Theta Chi, and Sigma Alpha Mu as it investigates hazing claims. The federal government has recognized 7 tribes in the Commonwealth. Virginia is now playing catch-up to have the law reflect that special status. VPM News' Jad Khalil has the backstory on bills passed this year to move the process forward.
The legislation can be traced back a few years and involves delays across administrations and political party. One requires Virginia to consult with tribes on projects with potential cultural, historic, or environmental impacts. In late 2021, outgoing Democratic Governor Ralph Northam surprised state agencies with an executive order directing them to write a consultation policy. Then Republican Governor Glenn Youngkin came into office, and work on the policies was paused. Another bill extends the amount of time a state commission has to examine and suggest updates to Virginia law. Andy Block, a professor at the University of Virginia Law School, explains.
Virginia could and should treat tribal nations like they do other government entities, but the code is silent in many places about that recognition.
That commission currently has too many vacancies to meet and do business. The vacancies date back to the last Republican-controlled House of Delegates and continue, even as Democrats control the chamber today. Regardless of the delays, at least 5 tribes have praised passage of the consultation bill.
Jad Khalil reporting. On Sunday, Governor Glenn Youngkin is heading out on his 3rd international trade mission. Youngkin will make stops in Germany, Denmark, Finland, and Switzerland before returning home on May 3rd. A press release from the governor's office says he'll meet with Finland's president and officials and executives from other countries. Youngkin previously visited an air show in France and led a separate trade mission to Asia. Rockbridge County residents have formed the Mari River Alliance to address concerns over sediment pollution and potential flooding. WMRA's Randy B. Hagee reports.
Goshen Pass in Rockbridge County is a gorge cutting through mountains lined with rhododendron and honeysuckle. At its base winds the Mari River, by turns swollen with rapids and eased into a wide green ribbon running alongside a muddy current on the northern shore. It provides drinking water for parts of Lexington and the county and draws tourism from swimmers, anglers, and kayakers. It's fed by the Calf Pasture and Little Calf Pasture rivers. Less than a mile upstream from their confluence sits the Goshen Dam, and behind it, the 444-acre Lake Merriweather, which was constructed by the National Capital Area Council of the Boy Scouts of America in 1966. This lake has drawn river lovers' ire for discharging high loads of sediment downstream. And some fear that the dam, if not maintained properly, could cause catastrophic flooding. Residents say the water quality was particularly bad last August.
The water was so high and it was so murky and green, as in algae green, that you couldn't swim. I couldn't see my hand 3 feet in front of my face.
Linda Larson, a local chiropractor, began talking about the water conditions with her neighbors. One of them got in touch with a dam operator and found out the murky water was caused by the Boy Scouts partially draining the lake for maintenance. They do this every winter to clean debris out of the lake, but the severity and timing of last summer's discharge galvanized local residents to form the Mori River Alliance. More than 125 people attended a public forum at the Rockbridge Baths Volunteer Fire Department earlier this month. Nesha McRae came from the DEQ's regional office to discuss total maximum daily loads, or TMDLs, which are the agency's cleanup plans for bodies of water that exceed pollution standards.
We identified sediment as the primary stressor to aquatic life in that little red line, that segment of the Little Calf Pasture River below the dam.
Their study, conducted by Robert Brent of James Madison University, found that more than half of the sediment in Lake Merriweather was coming from degraded riparian pasture land. That refers to overgrazed pastures close to the river's tributaries, where exposed soil erodes into the water, or is directly chopped up by cattle getting into the streams. The DEQ encourages cattle exclusion fencing along the streams to prevent this pollution at its source. Brent published another study last year, which found that turbidity, which measures how hazy the water is due to suspended particles, was 8 times higher below the dam during the summer and 25 times higher during the winter. I called McRae after the meeting to learn why the suspended sediment is so bad for aquatic life.
The plants that live in streams can't absorb sunlight, so they can't photosynthesize. That can alter the amount of oxygen that's in the water, and it can also limit aquatic habitat. And when you have a lot of suspended sediment in the water column, that can actually absorb heat energy. So your stream temperature can increase when that sediment that's in the water column settles out. Then that really impacts all of the aquatic insects that live on the stream bottom.
I called the Boy Scouts Council to request an interview. Their chief communications officer said she'd pass on my information, but she was sure the DEQ would answer all of my questions. Residents also shared concerns about the possibility of flooding if Goshen Dam were to break. The Department of Conservation and Recreation, which regulates dams, classifies it as having high hazard potential because of how narrow the pass is and how many people live downstream. Justin Deal, the regional dam safety engineer, explained that the dam is currently in fair condition, meaning it's generally safe, but its bottom drain has been inoperable for at least 15 years.
The requirement for the low-level drain is sort of a backstop, if you will, in case you get like a Hurricane Camille type situation. A really significant rain system stalled over the area. We could lower the lake and keep some of that flood water held back for as long as we can. The main thing is preventing the dam from overtopping altogether. That is the worst case scenario.
The Boy Scouts have to make a plan to fix it and run through tabletop emergency scenarios with Deal by the end of July to stay in compliance with the DCR. It's a catch-22, though. Repairing or replacing it now will inevitably release many years' worth of built-up sediment. Caught between this rock and hard place, those who live and play on the river just want it to be safe and clean. Linda Larson first fell in love with the area in 1979 when friends took her and her husband, Eric Smeltzer, to Goshen Pass.
We moved that next weekend, and I've been here ever since. Mm-hmm. And Eric lived until 4 years ago in Rockbridge County, and that's where he's buried. For many, many people I know, the trip to Goshen Pass, the trip to the Maury, was the deciding factor on, hey, I'll live here, I'll move here.
At the meeting's close, Larson encouraged attendees to contact their state representatives to bring more attention and perhaps funding to these issues. For WMRA News, I'm Randy B. Hagee.
For WMRA News, I'm Dan Easley. Thanks for listening.